Hope that you're all doing well this evening. It's good to be here. Looking forward to a little bit of food and fellowship here in just a few moments. We're going to be in 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Making our way through this book. John has been trying to show us what a true Christian looks like. He's been showing us what a true believer looks like, showing us the difference between an authentic Christian and the Antichrist, Antichrist spirit, those who have come out of Christianity, but they are no longer believing. And he's showing the readers here the difference between the two. He starts out the first verse, and he says, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. So he says to try the spirits, and that's what we want to look at this evening, is trying the spirits. How do we know what is true and what is not true? How can we discern between truth and error, especially in a day and in age in which we live, in which there is just so much out there? It's just unreal, the amount of information and claims and all of that. But we must be able to try the spirits. We don't want to become a casualty of error, of lies, false Christianity. There's plenty of it out there. Not everything you read, everything you hear is true. There's got to be some truth out there. And we must try the spirits. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your blessings upon us. We thank you for the fellowship and the good time that we've had already today, for the songs that we've been able to sing. Lord, we pray that you would be with us through these next few minutes. Lord, as we look into your word, I pray that you would lead us and guide us and direct us into truth. Pray that your Holy Spirit would lead us, Lord, and show us the things that you want us to see, and that we would grasp them in our hearts, and we would embed them in our lives, and it would change the way that we think and the way that we live our lives. Well, thank you for it, Lord. We love you and pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 1, he says, beloved, and this is one of the terms that he likes to use a lot, is beloved. He says, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. John says that there are many false prophets out there that have gone out into the world. This is at the beginning of church history. He says, but try the spirits. He's not talking about exorcism or casting out demons or something of that nature. No, he's talking about what people say. The words that come out of their mouth, he says, try the spirits. Try what they're saying. Test it and see if it is actually of God. And he gives a litmus test for whether a person is of God and what they say is of God. If they confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, then they are of God. If they confess that Jesus Christ is God, then they are of God. But those who don't confess that Jesus Christ is God is of the world, and therefore they speak of the world, and the world hears them. But he says, we are of God. That was John's confession. He says, we are of God and we need to know the difference between what is right and what is wrong, what is the difference between what is truth and what is not truth. Back when I was a child, about 10 or 11 years old, we lived in Clovis. My dad had started a church over there on Thornton Street, 1201 South Thornton, or somewhere there on Thornton Street. It used to be an old restaurant. It was Swackhammer's Restaurant, and Dad converted the church into an auditorium, and he was the pastor there. And anyways, across from that building, there was an old hospital. And behind the old hospital, there was an empty field in the back there, and they were cultivating the land and getting it ready for building. But me and my brother used to like to go back there behind that building. And once we were back there playing around and goofing off, and I looked around back there and I found a chunk of gold. I thought it was gold anyway. It was a gold rock. I thought, man, I've struck it rich. I have found a chunk of gold. And I brought it, showed it to my parents. I said, look, I've got a piece of gold here. And they said, well, you certainly might. Let's take it to church. I know that there's somebody there at church that can test it to see if it's in fact really gold or not. And so we went to church, showed him the chunk of gold, and he looked at it and he says, well, I don't know. I can take it and test it and see. You might have fool's gold or you might have the real thing. We just don't know. You might have struck it rich. Well, as luck would have it, it wasn't real gold. It was just some kind of gold rock. I don't know what it was. But we had to find out the difference between if it was really gold or if it was fake gold, fool's gold. And one of the simple ways I found out that you can test whether gold is real or not is to put a magnet up to it. And if it doesn't attract the magnet, well, then it's real gold. I believe that's the way it goes. But there's got to be a way. My point is there has to be a way to test the genuineness between the real and the fake, because you don't want to be deceived. There is real truth out there, and in our day and age, in our context in America, man, there are so many voices and truth claims that are made every single day in America. I mean, any old Joe out there can go and get a smartphone and make a video, put it on YouTube, put it on the internet, tweet something, make a Facebook post, do anything they want to, and make a truth claim, and people believe it. It's crazy. It's crazy. They start a movement and they believe that people will think, well, this is truthful and it's wholesome and it's got to be real because it's on the internet. And I have become so skeptical of what I read on the internet because people can just make stuff up. They can Photoshop it. They can make it look real. And really, I have to hear it from the horse's mouth before I'm really going to believe it. And even then, maybe not. But we have to know the difference between truth and error. There's a movement today, and it's called Black Lives Matter. And I just want to apply that to our current times just a way to illustrate this. This movement came around, I don't know, it's been 4, 5, 6 years ago, something like that. And on the surface, it sounds like a genuine search for justice. I mean, who doesn't want justice? I want justice. I'm a Christian. I want to be on the forefront of justice. Our God is a just God. Let's be just. But is it of God? Is this movement of God? Is this something that God would endorse? Is it truthful? Is it something that Christians should support, the Black Lives Matter? Because to be honest, there's all kinds of churches out there that are adopting the slogan of Black Lives Matter, and they're hanging up banners in their church, and they're just all into it. But what about what Black Lives Matter says, that their core values of what they believe and what they confess? Is it Christian? Is it something that Christians should be involved in? Because if it is, I want to be involved in it. I'm for justice. I'm against racism. I'm against all of that stuff. Let's do all of that. But what do they believe? And I can go along with some people if it's a secondary issue. I can kind of support people if it's something that's secondary, but ask them about their core values and what they believe. Well, what do they believe compared to the Word of God, just by introduction? What do they believe? Well, on their website, this is their confession. And we'll compare it to the Word of God. They say we are guided by the fact that all black lives matter, regardless of actual or perceived sexual identity, gender identity, gender expression, economic status, ability, disability, religious beliefs or disbeliefs, immigration status or location. They say they are guided by the fact that all black lives matter. Now, I would like to ask the question, if all black lives matter, do you believe in all of the black babies that are being aborted each and every day? Do they believe in those black lives? Do those matter? Because a mother's womb is the safest place for a child. How would you like it if someone came into your house and ripped you out of your house and shredded you to bits on your front lawn? Because your house is your sacred place where you go. That's where you feel safe. And to go in and take a baby out of the mother's womb and shred it to pieces, you don't believe that all black lives matter. You might believe in some. How about those black lives that are killed by systematic gang violence in the inner cities? Do you believe in those black lives? No, you don't. No, you don't. They said, we make space for transgender brothers and sisters to participate and to lead. Well, my question is, what about straight black men? Do you make space for straight black men? Because it seems like you're against straight black and white men, or any straight man. That's what it seems like. But they don't make space for straight black men to lead and participate. They are against that. They say we are self-reflexive and do the work required to dismantle cisgender privilege. Now, I had to look up the word cisgender privilege. But cisgender means that you identify with the gender in which you were born. That's cisgender. So if you identify with the gender in which you were born, you have special privileges. And we are about dismantling those cisgender privileges. Well, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 5, that in the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him, male and female created he them. He made male and female. Now, I'm not discounting that someone might be confused. I'm not discounting that. But we shouldn't encourage confusion. We should explain the difference and show them exactly what they are. We shouldn't coddle that kind of stuff. We are made in the image of God, and he made a male and a female, and he blessed them and called their name Adam. But they want to dismantle that. I'm sorry, I can't go along with that. I can't go along with that. They also say we build a space that affirms black women that is free from sexism, misogyny, and environments in which men are centered. Well, I'm not for mistreating women. I want to treat women right. And the Bible teaches us that we should love women. And I do. But I don't think that Black Lives Matter could go along with 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 3. Paul says, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Now, if they could, they would shred the Bible. They are against the Bible. They are against the patriarch. They say that they foster a queer-affirming network. The Bible says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminates, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. That is a homosexual. God does not affirm them. He says you need to repent. That's what he says. And I believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ can save those people. I believe that they can be brought to a place of repentance. That's what I believe. But our society today has fooled Christians into accepting this kind of anti-biblical, anti-Christ, anti-God stuff. Christians are being fooled today. Well, it's positive. I agree it is. I agree it is positive. People don't want to disagree with it. And then they'll try to shut you up if you do. But we need to know the difference between the spirits. Because there's a lot of false spirits out there. And I'm not for being unkind to anybody. I'm not for violence. I'm not for insulting anybody. I'm for being kind. I'm for preaching the gospel to these people. But I am not for overthrowing what the Bible has to say as truth. I am not for that. And I will not go against that. I will not. And Black Lives Matter does not get to set the standard of what truth is. They don't. They don't. The Word of God sets the standard for truth. God Almighty does. And this movement, this thing that is going on in our country is just a progression of what God said would happen in Romans chapter number 1. That's all it is. And you deny Scripture, and that's exactly where you're going to end up. And some of our kids, some of our children, people in our colleges, all of this, it's coming down to them. And they're thinking, well, you know, it's pretty positive. You know, I'm for justice. Well, amen, I'm for justice too. But you better be for truth. You better be for truth. Now John has just showed us what life is like as we are filled with the Spirit and being led by the Spirit. And now he says, look, but there are false teachers that are gone out into the world, and they have a spirit too, and it's not a truthful spirit. It's a lying spirit. They're false prophets. The devil is an expert at deception. He'll deceive you. You go right along with it. But Christians need to be careful about what they listen to and what other people are teaching. He says, believe not every spirit. You can't believe every spirit. What must we do? What are the imperatives that we must do if we are going to try the spirits? We're going to actually see. You interested in truth? Some people aren't. They cringe from the truth. They get mad at the truth. They riot in the streets and they want to shut you up. But I hope that you're interested in truth. How are we going to try the spirits? Well, number one, you better beware. You better beware. He says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. Beware. John has great care and great love for these fellow believers, and he's giving them a warning. He's going to show them the difference between what is true and what is not true, what is false and what is true. He wants to warn them about what they are believing. Now, we're at the beginning of church history, and already there are many who have left the Christian assemblies, and they are teaching lies about Jesus Christ. They're already gone out of the assemblies. He says there are many who are denying Jesus Christ. Many who are denying the gospel of Jesus Christ. We already read about this in 1 John chapter number 2. He says in 1 John 2:18, little children, it is the last time as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists, false prophets, and they have gone out. They have left the Christian assemblies. They have gone out into the world, and they found them a different audience. They found somebody that would listen to them, and the world would listen to them, not true Christians. If the world listens to your message, if the world receives the gospel, and it's not an offense to them, boy, there's something wrong. Something wrong. They're ministering now into the world. Just because somebody goes out and they talk about Jesus Christ doesn't mean that they're genuine. There's plenty of people that go out and talk about Jesus Christ. Doesn't make them a true prophet. Doesn't make them a true Christian. Don't believe everything that you hear. John wants to clear up any kind of confusion, and he gives them a dire warning, and you and I would do well to take heed to that same warning. There are all kinds of spirits out there today. All kinds of messages out there today, competing voices, and we can become bewildered by the amount of information that there is out there. One internet source cited there are over 200 different denominations and sects of Christianity. That doesn't even count all the non-denominationals. That doesn't count the Hindus. That doesn't count the Buddhists. That doesn't count the Muslims. That doesn't count the New Agers. That doesn't count the atheists. That doesn't count all those people. And it would be easy for us to look at all of that and say, my goodness, with all of that out there, with all of these denominations, with all of these beliefs, how can we be the only ones that are right and are true? How do we know that we're right? How do you know that you're right? I'd encourage you tonight, don't believe everything that you hear. Don't believe that all truth is relative. Don't believe it. There is real truth out there, and you must be willing to think negatively when it comes to truth. Look, that's not true. Be skeptical. That's not true. But I'm afraid there are too many Christians, and they have the mindset of, well, I'll consider that. Is evolution true? Well, maybe. No. Let's search that out and see if it's true or not. I mean, I know what the Bible says, but people think every so-called Bible teacher and preacher out there is preaching the truth, and they never scrutinize what they hear, and they just believe everything. They just take everything in. It's kind of like watching the news. People, we watch the news and we think, well, it's all has to be true. I mean, we have an authoritative figure sitting behind a desk, and they're using an authoritative tone, and they're just spitting out facts all the time to you. You think, well, they would never lie to me. I mean, it just has to be true. It's on the news. It's on TV. It has to be true. They say it's the news authority, they say. They say they're fair and balanced. They are America's most trusted cable network. It has to be true. People do the same thing with preachers and teachers. Well, it's on the internet. He's using an authoritative voice. He's telling a nice story. He makes me feel good. And so therefore it must be true. Don't believe everything that you hear. Don't believe it. Gauge it by the word of God. You have to beware. Number two, you have to be listening. Be listening. He says in verse 2 and 3, hereby you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. What are they confessing? What are they saying? What's their words? Are you listening? A lot of people don't listen. They're used to vegetating. Sitting in front of something, okay, yeah, I believe it. Are you listening? We must listen. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is God, John is giving us a litmus test on how we should gauge things. Can't just believe everything that we hear. How are we going to know what's a true prophet and what's not a true prophet? How will we know? What do they say about Jesus Christ? What do they confess about Jesus Christ? How are they teaching him? Do you know that was Jesus' concern when he was upon the earth? Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? You know what they said? Well, some people say you're John the Baptist, come back from the dead. Some people say you're Elijah. Some people say that you're a good teacher and a good prophet. That's what they're saying about you, Jesus. But what do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto me. It was my Father which was in heaven. Amen. The Father is the one who revealed it. He was speaking from the Spirit. It's important what you think about Jesus Christ, according to Jesus and according to the Scriptures and according to John right here. If we want to discern the Spirit of God, we must listen to what they say. What are they teaching about Jesus Christ? Are they just presenting him as a good teacher? Are they presenting him as just another good prophet that you can watch and learn from his lifestyle? And if you follow his lifestyle, well, then you'll have the same good lifestyle. Is that what they're saying? A good example to follow? You have to be listening to people, and it's sad to say that most people don't really listen to what they're being told. You know what we do? You know how we discern things today? In America, we discern things by our emotions. That's how we discern things. Well, as long as a speaker makes me feel a certain way, no matter what's being said, if I feel good after he gets done, well, then it must be true, and I'm going back. You got my emotions up. Got me going good. Our emotions is the litmus test to what's true and false. How was I made to feel whenever that person spoke? I'm not for making people feel bad. But we don't listen, we feel. You can't try the spirits if you're going to go off an emotional experience. Your emotions are not the standard of truth, and my emotions are not the standard of truth. Your emotions are not trustworthy. What's the gauge but by what we must go by? We know something is true because of the Scriptures, not our emotions, not how we feel about something. Paul the Apostle said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 20 and 21, he says, despise not prophesying. Don't get mad at the preacher. Instead, check him out. Is he telling the truth or not? Prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. But too many people just get mad. Hey, why don't you check and see if he's telling you the truth or not? And then you can get mad, and then you can leave and not come back. If he's lying, you shouldn't be there anyway. Despise not prophesying. I'll give you some things to listen for in a teacher or a preacher. Then you can check me out. Is he adding something to the Scripture? Is he putting something in the text that's not there? Is he adding something to the immediate text of Scripture that's not there? Is he bringing some kind of other idea into the text? I'm not talking about some kind of spiritual or devotional application, but is he adding something to the text to make it say what it's not supposed to say? Is he doing that? Is he adding words to the text to try and fit some kind of idea that you came to the text with? You can watch for that. Because a lot of people come to the Scriptures, got a certain predisposition about what the Scriptures say. They come to it and they bring their ideas to the Scripture, and then they make the Scripture say what they think. Does he add something to the Scriptures? Does he subtract from the Scriptures? Does he take something from the text? Skip over something, skip over certain verses that he doesn't like or he doesn't want to preach about? I wouldn't stay. Now, it's different if he doesn't know, and he'll tell you he doesn't know. But if he's trying to be deceptive, you don't need to stick around. What if he removes a verse from its immediate context? Pay no attention to the context, just remove it and say, well, this is what it means, and this is what it says, and he teaches something that is totally false. Not according to the context. You have to leave that verse in its context before you start teaching it. Because I can make God say whatever he wants, or whatever I want him to say. All I got to do is just pick a scripture out, read it, and say, well, that's what it means. Just took it out of context. You have to discern the spirits. You have to check him out, because preachers are fallible. We're just men. We're just men. I'm not the Pope. I can't sit up here and speak extra cathedra like he can. See, I can't even really speak at all. I get tongue-tied. But the Pope, he can speak ex cathedra. When he speaks, it's always truth. And I'm just kidding. I'm sure you all know that. be listening to what he says and compare it to the Word of God. That's how you can discern the spirits. And then you can be comforted because of what you have on the inside of you. He says in verse number 4, he says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. You've overcome the false teachers because you are of God. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You have something special and rich on the inside of you, and it's Jesus Christ. He says, you're going to have to fight against these false teachers and prove what is false and what is true. But I'm going to give you some comfort. I'm going to give you some confidence because you've been born again. You are of God. And you have Jesus Christ living on the inside of them. He says, you've been adopted by God. God is your Father. You have the Spirit of God. All of these lies may be coming against you. But let me give you some confidence. Let me give you some comfort. Let me give you some strength. You got God on your side, and he will lead you, and he will guide you, and he will show you what the truth is. We have that. There's something different about us. God is our Father, and we are overcomers. And they could take comfort in the fact that they are already overcomers through Jesus Christ. We are overcomers. I believe that it was of great importance for John to tell them who they were as Christians. They need to know their lineage. They need to know where they came from. Do you know it's important to know where you come from? It's important to know your history. You know, you erase a history of a people and you can pretty much conquer them. They don't know where they come from. They don't know anything about themselves. It's important to know where you come from. You know, it's good to search your church history too. I mean, as a matter of fact, church history is one of the most important subjects that you can study. But even your family tree, just so you can know who you are. You ever wondered why you have those quirky little habits? Why you do the things that you do? Why you have the personality that you do? Why do you make the decisions that you do? Then you start searching your family history and you start looking at your mom and your dad. And you start finding out about yourself, don't you? No, that's why I am what I am. It's mom and dad. That's where I came from. And John is telling them, look, where you come from God. What you have on the inside of you have Jesus on the inside of you. And you can conquer. You are overcomers because of what you have on the inside of us. And that ought to give us great courage and comfort today. God has given us everything that we need to fight our battles. He's given us the Holy Spirit on the inside. He's given us the written scriptures for us to read and observe and study. He's given us the Holy Spirit to understand those scriptures. He's given us the church to encourage us and exhort us, a church family to build us up and to strengthen us. Yeah, there's lies out there, but you got a family of church members here. Help you and encourage you. Got the Spirit on the inside of us, bears witness with our spirit about who we are. Yes, we can go forward. We can be comforted. We are overcomers through Jesus Christ. What's he done for you? Forgiven your sins, justified you, redeemed you, adopted you, called you his child, brought you into the family. Given you his righteousness, made you his child. And you're saying that you can't overcome the world? You're not an overcomer? No, I would say that you are an overcomer, and I am an overcomer. We can try the spirits and be empowered by him to serve him and live in holiness. There's no reason why the child of God can't live in holiness. He can live in holiness. In the midst of a world full of lies, he can. We're in a war today. You're in a war today. Flip on the TV. Turn on your smartphone. Listen to the things that come out of it. Those things go into your mind. You walk around all day and you have those things in your mind. It doesn't matter whether you want to or not, they're going to be swirling around in there. You're going to have to know what to do with those things. Is that true or is it not true? Am I a Christian or am I not a Christian? Does that agree with God's word or does it not agree with God's word? Those are things you're going to have to deal with. You know what you can do? Something comes up against you in your mind, because Christianity and salvation is a battle of the mind. That's where it's at. You're waging war in your mind. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not a physical battle, it's in your mind. Ideas, doctrines, teachings, emotions, all of those things come into play. Paul the Apostle says, For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. What do you do with those thoughts? Bring them to Jesus Christ. Bring them into captivity and bring them into subservience of Jesus Christ. Doesn't agree with Christ, doesn't agree with God's word, down, down. This is the truth. That's how we gauge the truth, is through the word of God, through his holy son, Jesus Christ. Are you willing to try the spirits? Don't accept everything that you hear, no matter how positive that it might be. Just ask yourself if it's true or not. That's all that matters. That's all that matters is the truth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your blessings upon us. God, we know, we understand that there is lies. We know that Satan is the father of lies. And he intends on battling against us, battling against the Christians, trying to bring us down. Father, I pray that you'd help us to try the spirits, put them through the litmus test, ask ourselves if it's true by the word of God or not. Lead us and guide us and direct us. We thank you, Lord, that we are overcomers through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we love you and we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.